We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Mishem Chanyakam ben Menachem. So Leo, we are in the Chorus Perek Dalad Mishnah Yud. Hechoshed ala Shviyas, the person who is suspected regarding Shemitah produce, that he's not careful with the laws of Kedusha Shviyas on the fruit. He doesn't get rid of it from the home when it's no longer available for the animals in the field, which is what we call Biur. Person who is not careful with the money, if you exchange Shemitah onto coins, so the coins are Kadosh and the Shemitah fruit is Kadosh. So someone who's Chashed on Shviyas, on Shemitah, Eino Chashed ala Masos. We don't have to assume that he's suspect regarding the laws of Masros. And we're speaking about specifically the Masros of Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim. So if you're buying from someone who produce from someone who is Chashed ala Shemitah, you don't have to assume that, let's say he's selling you Maser Sheni produce and claiming that it's not Maser Sheni. And maybe you have to be concerned that what you're buying you really have to do Yerushalayim. We don't have to assume that. But the reverse is also so. And that is, if a person is suspected not being careful with Maser Sheni produce, he's not suspected on Shemitah if we don't know about it. So that we don't have to assume. Now, shouldn't we consider maybe one more stringent than the other? And it should be obvious to us that if he's suspected on one, he's automatically suspected on the other. The answer is no, because each one of these, both Shemitah and Maser Sheni, has a chumrah, has a stringency. And that is, Maser Sheni could only be eaten in Yerushalayim, in the Old City. Shemitah produce, you can't do business with Shemitah produce. You have to be careful about certain laws with Shemitah, Kedusha Shviyas, but you don't have to go anywhere in order to eat it. So maybe someone would be more suspect on Maser Sheni and not on Shemitah. So, and the reverse is also true. Shemitah has its own chumrah, and that is that Shemitah, there's no pidyon, which means if you redeem the Shemitah produce onto coins, the Shemitah produce remains kadosh, and the coins are kadosh. As opposed to Maser Sheni, if you redeem Maser Sheni produce onto coins, the coins you bring to Yerushalayim, the produce you can eat anywhere. It is subject to pidyon. So therefore, a person may be more suspected on Shemitah, but not necessarily Maser Sheni. What about Hechashed al Zeva al Zeh, Chashed al Ataros? Let's say you're suspected on Shemitah or on Maser Sheni, one or the other, then we have to assume that you are suspected on Taros, which means to sell food that is Tameh and claim that it's really Tahor. Now, this would be true, the laws of Tumah v'Tahor, that many things that are Tameh only midrabanan. And therefore, what we're suggesting here is that if a person who's suspected on violating the laws of Shemitah, or a person, or the Shemitah approaches, not treating it properly, a person who is suspected on Maser Sheni, not treating it properly, not and selling it, claiming that this is some other type of produce, someone, a person who's not careful eating Maser Sheni produce in Yerushalayim, so we have to then assume, Kal v'chomer, that he's going to be suspect on Taros. Because since many foods can be subject to Tumah Durabanan, so if he's not careful with a Doraisa like Maser Sheni or a Doraisa like Shemitah, he's certainly not going to be careful with the laws of Tumah V'Taro, or many of the laws are Midurabanan, where foods can become Tameh Midurabanan. V'yeshu chashad ala Taros v'ena chashad lo al zeh v'lo al zeh. But you can have the other way, or a person who is suspected on Taros, which means he's not careful by regarding Tumah Durabanan, but I don't then have to assume that he's suspected not to be careful with the laws of Maser Sheni or the laws of Shemitah. Because a person who's chashed on something that's midivei sof and midirabanan is not chashed on something there where there is going to be an Isser Torah. Zeha klal, the Mishnah gives us a general rule. And this general rule is not really that much related to what we said. Usually, zeha klal is, it's a little bit related. Zeha klal is usually a rule that summarizes what we said in the Mishnah. And then usually we assume that zeha klal is there, since I know that rule pretty much by reading the laws of the Mishnah, that it comes to include something. Zeha klal is a little bit different. What's the rule here? The Mishnah teaches us at the end. Kol hechashed ala davar lo dano v'lo mi'ido. If you're suspected on something, you're not trusted to judge on that matter or to testify on that matter. So that is, so that's not exact, that's not a summary of the laws of the Mishnah, but it is telling me an application of the laws of the Mishnah. We speak about people who are suspected on certain things, so it should be obvious then that he should not be able to judge on that matter or testify because he's someone who we cannot trust. Now the Rambam rules, interestingly, in Hilchos Shmita Peraches, Kol Hechashad Al Davar, Afal Pi She'eino Neman Al Shalatzmo, Nemanu al shalachirim, person who may be suspected on a certain matter, even though he may not be trusted on his own, but he's neman on something that doesn't benefit him, that for someone else. Chazaka ein adam chote lachirim. We have a presumptive status of a person that he doesn't sin if it's someone else's benefit. He'll sin and do the aver, take the risk for himself if he's going to benefit. For someone else, he's not going to sin. Lefikach says the Rambam, hechashad al adavar dano umido. Rambam says a person who's suspected on something on a certain matter, he can judge and he can testify, which seems to be against the halacha and the Mishnah. How do we understand the Rambam? So if you look later on, we'll learn in Perakei Mishnah Dalid that Rabbi Meir says, Hechashad al davar lo dan over lamido. A person who's suspected on a certain matter, he can't judge and he can't testify. But he is not the only opinion in the Mishnah. The opinion in the Mishnah that precedes Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Neman hu al shel chaver, veino neman al shel atzmo. He's not believed for his own, but he's believed for someone else. And therefore, the Rambam says, since you're judging and testifying not for yourself, but for someone else, so therefore, that would be perfectly acceptable according to the halacha. This Mishnah happens to follow Rabbi Meir, but we don't follow, but it would paskin like Rabbi Meir. Perakei Mishnah Aleph. Kol psulei hamikdashim. Psulei hamikdashim are karbonos that develop a mum, and therefore become disqualified from being brought as karbonos on the Mizbeach. And what do? With them? We redeem them, and then they can be eaten. You can use the money to buy other karbanos, but now these animals, since they're disqualified, become chulin and people can eat them. Mishnah is coming to teach us that when it comes to bechor, that's a baal mum, which is in effect is a psulei hamikdashin. It's disqualified from going as a karban. Nonetheless, the halacha is that there are certain laws that apply to a bechor baal mum that would not apply to regular psulei hamikdashin. Kol psulei hamikdashim nimkarin beitlis v'nishchatim beitlis v'nishkalim belitra chutz ben abachor u'min amaser shehana yason lebalim. So the Mishnah says like this. Generally, when it comes to karbanos that develop a mum and they are redeemed, so the halacha now is after you redeem them, so the animals are chulin. So then you can sell them beitlis, which means in the shuk where we sell animals. Regular behemos chulin, nishkalin belitra, which means you can weigh them on a scale. This the way the butchers normally do. They have a scale, certain weights on one side of the scale, put the meat on the other side of the scale. That's fine with psulei hamikdashin once they're redeemed. V'nishchatin be'itlis means they can also be so. Nimkarim be'itlis, nishchatin be'itlis means they can be shechted, sold and shechted in the shuk. And nishkalim be'litra, they can, as we said, they can be weighed with the regular scales, the regular weights. Chutz mina b'chor mina maser, but b'chor and maser are different, where they develop a mum. Shehana yasan lebalim, which means that the hana'ah goes to the owner. What's mean the owner? I mean the maser behema is eaten by the owner. Bechor baal mum, of course, is eaten by the kohen himself. So when the Mishnah is teaching us is since the bechor and the maser are benefit the owner themselves, they get to eat from it. So therefore, we say that they should not treat these karbanos, what were potentially karbanos, were holy to begin with, they should not treat them in a degrading way by having them sold in the marketplace and shechted in the marketplace and weighed like regular meat, because after all, they were karbanos. Now, why then would I do that? Why would I subject the other psulei hamikdashin to that embarrassment? So the answer is because psulei hamikdashin, where these are animals that were karbanos, is true. But don't you want to make sure that you're going to get the highest price possible for these animals? They're for the chulin that is being sold. Why? Because it's chulin. What's the beis hamikdash getting? So the answer is a person would be willing to redeem a pasul karbon for more money, knowing that he could sell the redeemed animal for more money. So therefore, Hekdesh ends up, the Beis HaMikdash ends up gaining from such a thing. But when it comes to an animal, b'chor n'maser, which is going to be eaten by the Baal himself, so then we don't mizalzel the kachim to have them to sold, be sold in the shuk or be sold by weight. They're being, let them be sold in the house. And whatever they're sold for, that's what the owner is going to gain. So, and that's why the Mishnah says that b'chor n'maser hayanasan l'baalim d'hana, that's being gained is only by the owner anyway. So don't denigrate what was a korban. Psulei ha-mikdash, and the Mishnah says, though, hayanasan l'hektesh. In the end, ultimately, hektesh ends up gaining because someone will be willing to pay more to redeem it if they know they can get more if they sell it. So we'll put the animal through this embarrassment, the carbon through this, or what used to be a carbon, what's now possible, disqualified a carbon, through the embarrassment. So at least we get a higher price. After all, you do things in public. Things are auctioned very often. So we're able to get a better price. Vishoklin mane mane keneged mane bibachor. Mane keneged mane bibachor. And the Mishnah concludes that, and when it comes to a bechor, what we do allow you to do, you can't put that weight, that the weight, the 10-pound weight on one side of the scale and the meat on the other side of the scale, because that's, as we said, that's embarrassing. But mana keneged mana, you can. What's mana keneged mana? Means you know a portion of meat, you know what its weight is. So you can put that on one side of the scale to weigh this other portion of meat, which is the bechor meat, and that's not as embarrassing. That can be done. It can be done in the owner's house, as we said. It can be done in the shuk, but he's able to do so, and we don't consider this to be a lack of respect to the animal, because it's not, you're not using a classic weight. You're just using another piece of meat. However, that's only when it comes to a bechor. We would not allow this when it comes to maaser sheni. The question is why? This is not, if it's embarrassing, it shouldn't be done by a bechor. And if it's not embarrassing, so then it should be done by maaser as well. So the answer is because the pasuk says, ach bechor shor, o bechor kesev, o bechor eiz, lo tifdeh. When it comes to bechor, it says, do not redeem it. So what does that teach us? It means that if there's no mum, so then you should not be redeeming it. But if there is a mum, so then it can be redeemed. What does it mean it can be redeemed? So you can sell it. So we learn from lo tifdeh, generally don't redeem it. But if you need to, so then if it gets a mum, so then you can sell it. When it comes to Masa Behema, it says in Parshas Bechukosai, lo yigo'el. Lo yigo'el means you're not allowed to sell it, not when it's alive, not when it's shechted, not when it's a tumim, not when it's a balmum. We never do so. So although this is not a real drasha, it's an asmachta, which means it's a din drabanan, which has a support in the Torah. Because after all, min haTorah, the only time where there's usher to sell an animal is when it's alive and when it's tumim, when it's without blemish. Nonetheless, it's this... It is this what the Mishnah means, Vishoklin mana keneged mana b'bechor. By bechor we allow it because it's only lo tifteh. That's a lower level of a statement. And therefore, if there's a mum, you can sell it. And since you can sell it, we allow you to do this type of weight. But when it comes to maser sheni, so we don't even allow a maser behema, rather, mana keneged mana, one piece of meat that you know its weight with the maser behema on the other side, that's not allowed, because maser behema is not sold at all. It's not sold at all. Obviously, I can't weigh it in such a way.